All right, let's get started. How are you?
I'm good.
You look extra sexy today.
Oh, thank you. I just have to make sure I don't give the camera a crotch shot. So, Rick, speak up.
Well, Mason's there too, so you might be giving Mason a
Yeah, I was going to say, Mason gets a front row view. I know, I'm wearing a wrap dress.
Well, you look absolutely beautiful.
I don't want it to unwrap. No. I don't want my wrap dress to unwrap.
I'm going
to
unwrap you later. Merry Christmas to me. Hello. It's going to look like an old episode because we're in the studio back at home. But we got a bunch of stuff going on at the other studio, and we will keep you guys posted on that as it moves forward. But
I like it. I don't know if it's historically, I don't respond well to change. I'm trying to get better at that in my adulthood, but I like being back in our home studio.
I know. And it feels so homey in here.
I mean, there is an echo in here, so I hope the sound is okay for everyone listening.
We took out there's no carpet. Usually there's
yes,
a carpet
but we can fix the echo problem.
Who's we? You mean Rick?
No. I can put a rug. I can fix the echo problem. It just like feels like us in here.
No, it does feel warm and it does feel like home. And you know, we have all the little trinkets.
I like all your memorabilia trinkets. I mean, we don't keep much. We throw out a lot. So like,
am I the only one that your wife doesn't listen to you and then just, what is that called? Railroads you when you talk? Are we going to railroad Steve today?
Maybe because I'm in a good mood.
I mean, fuck, dude. It drives me absolutely. And maybe I'm the only one, but I don't know if it happens to Rick or to you, but I'm like talking and then she'll just like, I'll be talking to her and then she'll just start talking to you.
No, that's so funny because all the earlier podcast episodes say, will you let Renee talk? Like from the beginning.
And I learned my lessons. That's the difference between me and you. I actually learn lessons. I hear them loud and clear. But I was literally talking and then you were just like, let me tell you why I love this podcast studio. And
okay. Like, you tell me what you want to say, Steve Trevino.
No, I just would like to have a regular conversation where the other person I'm talking to is listening and not concerned with, let me just tell my side of things. So with that being said, see, we're back in the home studios where we fight. It's where we fight. That's why people like
it. It feels more like us.
Yes.
Feels
absolutely
more like us.
I don't know. I got to figure out the pros and cons, you know, because I did enjoy going into the studio because it was an opportunity to leave the house.
Yeah. You don't like to leave the house.
I know, but, you know, for that hour or so, we leave, you know. We go see the friendly faces over there at the studio and just kind of get out, right? But then there's also something really great about not having to leave the house.
Yeah.
You know, even you today was like, I got to hurry. I got to hustle. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Because for those of you that don't know, the studio is about 15 minutes from here.
You have to allow yourself a little more than 15.
Maybe 20.
I know, because I allow myself 15 and I'm always a few minutes late.
So like 20. Wonderful weekend this weekend of shows. Kind of tough though. We had some, the traveling was rough.
Oh, I thought that you meant the crowds were tough. You meant the
crowds were absolutely fantastic. I got to give a shout out to Wilkes-Barre, our Wilkes Bar. The staff at that theater was so happy to see us back and was just so kind and they're just so sweet. And, you know, they were so, you could see it. You could feel their excitement to see me, you know, and they're like, hey man. And hey, you know, thanks for coming. And, you know, I'm so glad you came back. And I'm like, well, I'm glad to be here. And we did, you know, we did sell more tickets there this time than last time. So great show.
Well, the ushers were probably like, oh, now we know what we're getting. We're excited to be in the theater and like see the show and see a different show again.
Good show. And then it was a 6-hour drive to get to Northfield, Ohio.
Oh, I knew you had a bit of a drive, but I didn't realize it was 6 hours.
Well, and it was kind of Cleveland-ish is where it was. It was probably 30 minutes southeast maybe of Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And that's where... That's where Dan met me.
Yeah.
And his buddy Alex. But, you know, Dan hit me up. And Dan is our mortgage broker friend who we have talked about on the podcast, who I think they've actually met, the people here on the podcast, Dan. Dan is who helps me with my mortgages. And It's Marquee Mortgage. He can do Texas, Florida, and PA. Very good friend of mine.
Ours. He's a friend of ours. You can't just claim ours, Dan.
But he's, you know, he's hitting me up. Hey, this mortgage broker friend, he wants to do stand-up. Can you, you know.
Oh, no.
Can you give him time? He just started stand-up. And I'm like, and I love Dan, but he's like, I already told him. You think you can give this guy 5 minutes? And I'm like, Jesus, Dan. And you know, you hate to say no because Dan has never said no to me.
Yeah.
You know, and he's never asked for a favor like that. So I'm like, okay. And it's this older guy, retired, super nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, nice guy. But nobody's good at stand up at 5 months.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And the amount of time, effort, energy, blood, sweat, and tears that it took me to get in front of a theater audience.
Well, that's where my brain went, was like, poor guy, like, put him in a comedy club before you put him in front of a Steve Trevino theater audience.
Like on a Friday second show at a club.
Yeah.
So I let him up, you know, of course, because Dan asked. And you know, he really tried, you know. And
I was hoping there was going to be a turnaround to the story because you were kind of moving through it slowly. And well, I was like, Steve's going to say he was pleasantly surprised.
I want to be careful because I like the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to listen to this podcast and go, oh my God, Steve hates me. I don't hate him.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. Very respectful.
Yeah.
Right. He just wasn't good at stand up for a very high paying job.
Are we talking about Rick right now?
No, this is.
Ouch.
I'm kidding, Rick. I'm kidding. We always make jokes about like Rick doing time. So I'm just poking fun at Rick.
But the problem is that once I let him on stage, right?
Uh-huh.
And again, nice guy. And he could turn out to be a great comedian.
Sure.
You know,
he has 10 years.
Yes, it takes a long time. And I you know, I made fun of Dano the next day and I told Dan, I go, imagine if I went to you and said, hey, let my buddy Mason handle taking this mortgage off your hands. He goes, wow, there's no way I would let you do that. And I go, well, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. So then, of course, you know, I was very nice to the guy and I'm still nice to the guy.
Yeah.
I don't want him to think that I dislike him. I don't. He hits me up. Hey, saw that you're going to be in Atlantic City. I'd love to open for you there. And I'm just like, oh, Dan, look at this freaking.
You created a monster.
Look at this dam that has broken. And now he's like, well, I'll just call Steve and do Atlantic City.
Well, how did he feel about his performance? That's the question.
He came off and he was like, oh man, again, super sweet guy.
Uh-huh.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
And again, he might have a career. You know, and if I was at a comedy club, giving him 5 minutes is not that big of a deal.
Right.
Right. So
But at a theater, you want your audience to have an elevated theater experience. So you or your opening acts are headlining acts in other places.
Yeah. They don't need to be 5 months in.
Yeah.
You know, so we had that in Wilkes-Barre and then went to Northfield. Dano showed up. Of course I gave him shit. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, you're killing me, dude. So then, of course, hanging out with Dan is so great. He's got this friend, Alex. He's awesome. And great show in Northfield. It was at a casino. Had drinks afterwards.
Did you gamble, Steve Trevino?
No, because they didn't have a craps table.
So you didn't gamble at all?
Nope.
You didn't even slip $100 in a slot machine?
Oh, a slot machine. But, you know, I don't know if that's quite gambling. But
yes, sir. That is gambling.
But hung out with this really great couple from Chicago. He was a PD is a PD and his fiance. And he was like, we want to go to Cabo because guys, we're doing Cabo. You want to party with the Trevinos? We're doing Cabo July 29th through August 1st.
Are those the dates? I don't know the dates.
It's called Casey Donahue's Boots on the Beach. And I need to call her because I want to podcast in Cabo.
I do too. Let's do it. Rick, you want a podcast in Cabo?
Yes.
And if you got to go, you got to, yeah. So I don't have the official details yet.
Yeah.
But if you look up Casey Donahue's Boots on the Beach in Cabo, I know Randy Rogers is going to be there. Josh Abbott, Casey Donahue, of course, Bart Crowe, bunch of Texas country guys. It's going to be a great, great fun weekend for us.
You'll wear a tank top.
Oh, the whole time. The whole time. Nipples might come out.
Yours, not mine.
Yeah. So we're excited about that. And then it was off to Detroit. And I was super excited about Detroit because I knew that Ricardo was going to be there, our friend Rick. And
I had major FOMO. I'm glad you didn't text me, Rick, because that would have made me sad. Then I would have really had FOMO.
It was great. He had about 40 people back there.
Yeah.
Couple lesbians included. Rick's laughing. But I was excited because I wanted Rick to see the new set.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I wanted to talk to him about it. And it's so funny because Rick, and I'll let him talk here in a minute. Rick literally went into producer mode.
Yeah. Right?
Like he got, when I was done, he's like, oh, and when you lay down on the stage, we could do this and we could do that. And, you know, we could put a camera above you. And, you know, it was really cool. To have Rick there, then Mike Young's birthday and his mom happened to be there.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
We ended up surprising him on stage with a cake and his mom came out and we took pictures of him on stage with his mom. And
yeah.
So Detroit, and I got to tell you, cool town, Detroit.
Yeah.
The NFL draft had just left.
I heard it was nuts because we had some friends who went into town earlier and they were like, it is insane here with the NFL draft this weekend. And I was curious how it would affect your show.
Well, you know, again, I was kind of bummed because several shows this year have been in cities that were competing against big events.
Well, just poorly timed.
Poorly timed. And
you Austin know, was during South by Southwest.
You know, and nobody wants to go downtown.
No.
Right? I would assume that most suburbs of Detroit people are like, I don't know what's going down there. There's the draft. Do I want to go to a show?
Yeah.
You know, so, but still sold a lot of tickets and it was still a beautiful show.
Yeah.
I'll let Rick talk about the new material and his thoughts. Go ahead, Rick.
I'm going to sound like a total fanboy here. Your new stuff is the best you've ever written.
No.
Whoa.
The way you're getting into it, the way you're getting out of it is so special. And you know me, I will never give you notes on your comedy other than when I said, hey, I got a couple notes for you.
Yes.
everyone that came, all 40 people that came, they said the same thing. It is the best they've seen you. I don't know if it was just your pauses were different. The way that you're acting out is different. It is so, so good.
I like it. And I think I'm very proud of 60 to 70% of the material.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you for saying that. I don't ever think that something can top the truck story. You know, the truck story for me has all the elements. It has you in it. It has my parents in it. It has what we're going through in our life in it. It has act outs. It has tags.
Ooh, that was loud. Sorry.
To me, the truck story, it has nostalgia. To me, the truck story just fires on all cylinders.
Yeah.
You know, what I do like about this set is it all happens in our home. Like you feel it. It's very day in the life.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what did you like most about it, Rick?
Well, I don't know what I can say if I name a, can I name bits?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. The thing about it is the photography,
the family picture day.
Family picture day is hilarious.
It's the first time Gigi started pointing at me, and we've seen you, 150 times now, and Gigi never points, even though we're like, oh, we do that too. When you get into what the kids are doing, and again, your act out, when you jump, I lost it.
Yeah, and you know, the heart of that bit, which I have not been able to get out of it like I want to, so it's still a work in progress. The heart of that bit is that we put up with each other. That's the heart of that bit, right? You put up with me being a giant child and doing dumb shit.
Yeah.
And I put up with you being a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
Right. And I think putting that out there of like, you know, it's not one-sided. Right. And,
yeah.
And my perspective on it is that for the most part, in my opinion, women see it one-sided. That the women have this, that my wife has this attitude of, I do everything. I have to put up with the kids. I have to do this. I have to do that. And it's like, as a simple man, if you will, it's like, hey, like I do shit too. And I just want credit for it.
Yeah.
Right. Not only do I volunteer and coach with my kids, I earn money. I work hard. I take care of the yard. I do shit too. You know?
Yeah.
And then it's also, well, as a wife, you go, oh my God, he's always doing dumb shit. Yes. I understand that you put up with that as well, but I put up with the spoiled brat. And I put up with a woman that is always changing her mind and doesn't really know what she wants. And
I'm smiling because this is such an interesting conversation for someone who has not seen your new set.
Right. Like,
that's why I'm laughing as you say this. I'm like, he really just said that. Oh my God, he just said that.
No, I but
mean, people, they don't have the context if they haven't seen your show.
But you got to come see me live, stevetrevino.com.
There you go.
But the content of that bit is to basically say, we truly are equals.
Yeah.
We are equals.
Yeah.
Or
that it's a partnership.
That it's a partnership.
It's not necessarily that we're equals because I'm definitely better than you are, but.
That's the problem. That is the problem. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
But we are partners.
So, I mean, does that message come across, Rick?
It does. It completely does. And a couple things. Renee, you haven't seen the photography bit?
Oh, no, I have. It's my favorite. Okay. Like, as he started writing this new material, I love that joke. I think it's awesome.
It's the first time I was sitting in the theater going, all right, I got to hurry up and call Renee and figure out, are we going to show the photo? Do we build it into the set? You know, how I would love to get your opinion. We'll talk offline about how we're going to make that visual.
I keep telling our family photographer because Kristen Johnson was our behind the scenes photographer for Simple Man. And so I just keep telling her, Kristen, you have got to see this bit. It's so good.
She made me apologize to her.
I made Steve call Kristen and apologize because he was so awful.
I was not that awful. I was, Family Picture Day is tough for me, but, but I will say very quickly, I almost didn't recognize Gigi. She was like hussied up in a dress looking.
Hussied.
And I think she's lost weight. Like,
called Gigi a hussy on camera.
No, she was all hussied up in her dress and the makeup. And, you know, Gigi's a jeans and tennis shoes kind of gal, you know, so it's very rare that I see her in a dress. I mean, she was like, so I walk in, I'm like, oh, hey. And she's like, it's me. And I'm like, oh, shit, hey. Like, but we're not even getting to the good part yet. But
Steve, I should say this. The couple in front of us, we're like, hey, have you seen Steve Trevino live? And like, anytime we can, we see him live. I was like, what do you think of the special? And they said, we don't want to watch a special. We didn't want tonight to be ruined. So I think you need to keep saying, you keep having to drive it home that this is all new, never
all new material.
And Rick, I feel like we've shared it in lots of places on social media and Steve's
so
made videos,
times.
But I think we just got to keep replaying it, maybe in your Instagram stories.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, is I go, I walked on stage and you remember, Rick, I go, hey guys, you know, who has seen the Netflix special? And very few people clapped. But I think that's good that as I'm out on the road, those people that chose not to see it, when they see me not do that material, they're running home.
And watching it? Oh, I hope so.
Several people told me they were.
Yeah.
You know, but so write the material. It is very, very funny. Now I got to start finding the heart, right? And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you keep going.
Well, and one of the moments that's still clunky right now is I say at the end of the family photo bit where I say, and that, fellas, is why we have a wife. You know, and I want to thank my wife for being strong enough to force me to do it because it is worth it.
Right.
And I do love seeing the photos on my wall. and it is worth it. And if I didn't have a wife that was strong enough to go, I don't care that you get grumpy. This is important and we should do it. And I say it, it's not coming through the bit. I'm just saying it right now.
Yeah. Well,
does that make sense, Rick?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's kind of where I was going to go. But when I stopped cutting you off, was that I feel like when you first start to craft a set, which now I haven't seen it in a while. It's been a while since I've seen the set. But when you first start to work on new material, for me, it often comes across as a little too aggressive, a little too male centric. There's a little too much machismo in there. And I appreciate as the set develops when you pull back on that stuff, because I think that sometimes when you lead with that, it keeps people from seeing what the intent of the joke is. When you start to develop a set, it's got that aggressive, sort of angry,
it has a
male,
an edge. It has an edge, you know. But
well, but not just edge, because I don't want you to take away the edge of the joke. I just think it's like the overpowering male point of view that I think you lose some of your audience because they're turned off by that.
Yes, and I agree with that. And I think that's why we make a good team, because, you know, you always make me look at things from your perspective.
Yeah.
Right? And we were talking about that, me and Rick, after the set, where I, you know, when I start off the story about the gym and that day where you're sick and we're going through the back and forth and it's driving me crazy. Before that, I tell a story of me being an idiot.
Yes.
Right. And so that's something that I added to that joke.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I give myself permission to then talk about you.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that gym joke is an old joke you were doing on stage before that never lived to see the light of day on a special.
Because I couldn't figure it out.
And I hated it, thank God.
But I couldn't figure it out.
But now it doesn't bother me. Now
I figured it
fits.
Out. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I figured it out to tell it in a way that works, right? It has heart. And it is the back and forth, and it is, you know, me trying to be a patient husband and you trying to be a patient wife. And I tell the story about Thanksgiving when I rolled the Polaris.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to go, yeah, look, she deals with this dumb shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I deal with this. Right. And me and Rick were talking about how that's something that I learned from you through these years of stand up of, hey, you can't just shit on me, right? You're not perfect.
Right.
Right. But when you're on stage and you get to tell the story,
it's your point of view. It's
why
your
wouldn't
platform.
I be perfect? I get to choose, but it doesn't make for great stand up.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, Rick, I'm just getting better at being able to seesaw the emotions of.
It's more dimensional. It's more rooted in something that's real. And if you want your stand up to have heart, you've got to be dimensional and have that.
But the, you know, in the family photo, how do I get across that the reason that you're so passionate about family photos is because you know it's worth it. And you want those memories to be captured at that time of our family's life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You want that. And I don't see that big picture as a husband, as a father. I go, this is a shitty day for me. I don't get to do what I want. I have somebody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Right. I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to be dressed up right now.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be in my flip flops and tank top, but I'm now in my jeans and boots and all my school clothes, like I like to talk about. But you as a mother and as a wife, you do see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And the value in it.
Yeah.
I don't see the value until after.
Well, now I'm wondering, Rick, I'm already planning our next family photo shoot. Should we have a behind the scenes videographer recording our family photo shoot?
We should do it live on stage.
But there's also something great about that bit. And also the idea that as you grow up as a man, your perspective on things changes, or at least I hope it should.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that some men don't ever make that transition. So their marriage fails because of it. You know, yeah. I remember when my sister's, Lisa's kids were my dad's first grandchildren. And I remember being at the Christmas party, Christmas Eve, where we always get rowdy and everybody always drinks a lot and people get loud and, you know, yeah. you know that party, right?
Uh-huh.
I remember my dad was there with his granddaughter, and my uncle was like, his brother was like, dude, look at your dad over there. That motherfucker was the baddest motherfucker, man. That motherfucker, he'd have everybody drinking. He'd be partying. But look at him now. He's over there with his damn grandbaby like a little bitch, right? And my dad overheard him. And my dad said, I was badass when I was young. I was the best. Now I'm a grandpa. I'm going to be the best grandpa, right? And yeah. I just remember my dad saying that, and it made me realize that how can you be the best or that person at every stage?
Yeah.
Right? I would say that I was the most macho, hardest partying, stay up the latest, get in fights pirate that there was.
Yeah.
Then I tried and had to transition to trying to be the best husband. Then I'm trying to transition to be the best husband and father.
Yeah.
Right. So that means that these other things have to get left behind. Right. So family picture day is kind of that moment where as a man, you go, the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
20 year old Steve wouldn't do this shit.
Yeah.
But then you have to transition into, you know what? It is worth it. And the memories are great. And I have to somehow find a way to be better.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you get all of those things into a bit and still make sure that it's hilarious? Does that make sense, Rick, what I just said?
It does. And an added layer on that is everyone, like Gigi's whole thing is Halloween photos. And every guy feels the same way you do. And every girl feels the same way Renee does. And so when I walk into your guys' house and see that photo, I'm like, you guys have the perfect family. And, you know, it's like everything's perfect. And to know that you had that situation, I'm like, oh, we can relate.
Yeah, them too, right? But you look at a guy like, you know, Mason's in a big transition in his life. You know, he's a young, cool dude. He's wearing cool sneakers and he's got all the cool shit. You know, he still has all his hair.
I was about to say he has a full head of hair.
For those of you that don't know, Mason is our new videographer that's been around for a while. We haven't introduced you to him. But Mason is engaged. Is that right? Yep. And, you know, I think you're already going through that transition from the single guy to the boyfriend and girlfriend.
Essentially, it's boy to man.
It's boy to man. Yeah. I mean, it's. I think some men never do.
It's taking on a different responsibility.
And I think some men don't ever take on that responsibility and go, well, what the fuck? I still want to be this party, do whatever I want guy. And it's like, dude, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And your marriage will not work that way.
Yeah.
However, you'll lose it. However, Mason, I am very lucky that, it was a transition for Renee and I of just because we're together doesn't mean I can't have a good time with my friends. And same with her, right? Just because we're married doesn't mean she can't go out with her girlfriends and have a good time. Doesn't mean I can't go out with my guy friends and have a good time.
Yeah, right? But we were in a unique situation in that you were on the road. So I was going to have a good time with or without you. And you were going to have a good time with or without me. We just had to figure out what we were comfortable with and sort of our levels of trust and what that looked like for the two of us together.
But as a guy, sometimes you got to get rowdy and you got to drink and you got to stay up late and laugh all night and tell stories and be drunken dudes. You know, I don't do it as often, but I need it. And I want to be able to have a guy's night.
Safely.
Or a guy's weekend, you know. It's a primal thing.
Roll the Polaris in our backyard, not out someplace else, please.
But at the same time, as I get older, I have really found ways to accomplish both. right? So Helicopters for Heroes for me, that weekend is a combination weekend of I get to give back to the veterans. I get to hang out with the bros.
Yeah.
I get to do a good thing for veterans. I get to bring my son and teach my son what it's like to volunteer.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a responsible dude's weekend.
Yeah.
That involves me, my son,
right,
dudes.
Like charity golf tournaments.
Right. Because I would say at this stage in my life and the way things are, that it is irresponsible to go, hey, I'm just going to Vegas with the guys for 3 days. Well, why don't you go and do a veteran hunt? Why don't you take a veteran fishing and have a fishing weekend? Or, you know, so, but you transition through life. And I think that that's what makes mine and our stand up great.
Yeah.
Is that it is constantly evolving into what is next for me in my life? Who am I becoming? How am I becoming that? And I would assume for a young couple like Mason and his girl to watch the, oh, we're not there yet, but we're on our way. Right. Or to even go back and watch Relatable and then watch I Speak Wife. And then, you know, as the, you know, me and Rick were talking about how they're almost sitcom episodes.
Yeah. I guess I never thought about it that way.
They're different episodes of different stages in our lives.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I think people like that. And I do have fans that will straight up tell me, dude, I have grown up with you.
Their relationship has progressed with ours.
Yeah, when you were single, we were single. When you got engaged, we got engaged. When you had kids, we had kids.
Yeah.
Right? So it's been a lot of fun to continue to grow and evolve. And I also think, and this is just my theory, that sometimes comedians get stale because they don't evolve. And not to get morbid, but it's about to go there. You know, it was Renee and I were looking at our life insurance policies, which we both have. And Renee was like, we need to up your policy, right? You're making more money. We have more things. We need to up your policy. She goes, because if you pass, we can't make any money. And I go, well, to be honest with you, it's the other way around. Because if Renee were to pass, I can't go back on the road. I got to be home with the kids. They just lost their mother.
I don't like talking about this. Right. I don't want to go there with my brain.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm going to go on the road and be like, you know, when you got a dead wife, let me tell you a story. Like, it's not happening. You know what I mean? I cannot do what I do without this woman. And
I know you said that. I mean, if we're really going to get morbid though, and like really talk about it and go there, I think the truth is I don't. You need stand up.
This bitch wanted a Louis Vuitton casket. y'all know how this shit is.
I think it would be your therapy. Should something ever happen to me, you need to go on stage and bitch about my Louis Vuitton casket, which I would love, by the way.
We just prop her up at all the shows in a casket. Like they did in the Old West, in the front as you come in. So bad. See, I always got to make a joke.
You would need to go back on the road and work through it in a healthy way.
But my favorite part is Rick's like, you know, there's a casino like right here. He's like, I want to play craps. I'm like, let's go.
Did you and Rick end up at a craps table this weekend?
We did. And so we get there and I'm just getting settled in. And of course I'm not drinking because I got to fly out at 5 a.m. and we're getting settled in. And it was the worst first 45 minutes of craps that you could ask for. I mean, Rick's like, well, I guess I'm going to the ATM, like the worst. And then Rick's like, when do the high fives come? I'm like, they're coming. Right. And then it was so funny because the only little spurts of winning we would get is when Gigi would leave. Like Gigi would go get something to eat and we'd start going and then we'd start winning. And then she'd come back and then that was over. And then we're like, okay, well, we want a little bit. Let's keep going.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then we finally get on a badass roll. I mean, Rick is down.
Is Gigi away at this point?
The casino is offering her a job to cool off other tables.
Yes. Dude, Rick is down to his last $30. And he puts it down and he goes, this is the definition of a chip in a chair. Let's go. Right. So then, boom, we hit a nine. I give him the money to back up his bet. Right. Boom, we hit the nine. He wins that, hands me the $30 back. And dude, we start rolling. And we are kicking ass. And Gigi just wants to go home. And she comes back and she's sitting on the chair behind us like this. And Rick's like, I'm trying to lose so we can leave. And she's like, just so, so Captain Evil. You know, and it'd be different if she had a hotel room in the casino to go to.
Yes.
She's just sitting there looking at us. And she's behind me. I could feel it. I could feel the Captain Evil energy. But dude, we kept rolling and we were winning. I mean, we had a blast.
This is why casinos need to have their spas open. As long as the tables are open, the spa needs to be open.
And then finally we're high-fiving and Rick's like, okay, I get it. I get it. This is awesome. This is awesome. Finally. But you ended up walking out of there with money.
Yeah. Wow.
Well,
with a second round of money.
Right. From $30.
We had $30, yeah.
Well,
don't you love Steve's gambling math? Like, Rick just totally outed your gambling math.
What I love about
not the first round of money.
What I love about Rick is he's a lot like you. I told him the field is the worst bet. Don't do it. You're going to lose money. The whole first hour, field. Why am I losing? His buddy, the pilot, was like, I listened to Steve. He said 6 and 8, and I have not gone back to the ATM. And then I didn't know this either, Rick. The field is 80. I knew it was a bad bet. 80% in the house's favor. So you were playing an 80-20 bet. And Rick's like, fuck it. That's what I like. It's the Gronkowski way.
It is impossible to keep up with you, Steve. First of all, you have to know the game inside and out. Like, you're saying words I've never even
heard before. I could deal the game.
Yeah.
I honestly could deal. I can tell them when the money's wrong. I'm like, no, money's wrong. I'm like, you owe me $6 more. And they're like, oh, shit, yeah. I do.
He did that once or twice.
Yep. I'm like, nope, money's wrong. They're counting the money. I go, you owe me 45. And they're like, okay, well, minus this, minus that. This bet makes this. I go, it's 45. You owe me $45. We owe him 45, and I'm like, I fucking know this game. I play it all the time. But the dealers were super nice, and I would say, Rick, it did turn into a good time.
Oh, it was a great time. It was great. And you said it best. It's like a part of it, you're paying for the experience.
It was
a lot of fun.
You get to hang out with your buddies playing a game and possibly winning a lot of money. And, you know, I think, and I don't want to speak for you. I think Renee, we went on a couples trip to Vegas with other couples. And for the first time, all the couples stood at the craps table. And man, we had a blast. And Renee was like, oh, like, I could do that. Cause you're just standing there, like you're at a bar having a drink.
Yeah.
Chatting with your friends while
visiting.
We play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's the, you want me to like, sit at a slot machine and watch you put cash in it and just like click it away.
Come on, Brenda.
The button. And I don't enjoy that. Every click, I'm like, would you stop? Would you just take the money out of the machine already? Like,
oh no, I'll go up and she's like, okay, that's it. Take it. But I'm a gambler. And I also think that because I'm a gambler, it has led to my success.
Yes.
I have a gambler. The scary part is Garrett's like, hey, Dad, can you give me some lottery tickets?
No, he got my dad to buy him some this weekend. We went into an HEB to use the restroom before his baseball tournament, and they have a vending machine for lottery tickets. And he's with my dad, and it literally says, you must be 18 and over to play. And Garrett's over there pushing the buttons, and I'm like, Dad, you have to be the one to push the button. Like, you have to take the tickets out of the machine. Garrett cannot be doing this.
Eight. Garrett's over there. Dad, give me some. He's like itching. Dad, I need that fixed, bro. I need those lottery tickets. But I have a gambler's mentality. And you know, it's funny because your dad is a gambler.
Yeah.
Right? But your dad.
My dad, there's logic behind it.
It's not that there's logic. He is so concerned about losing the money.
Yeah.
He's like, oh man, I lost 100. Oh man. You know, I remember one time he told me, he goes, Steve, your ability to not give a fuck about that money is unbelievable. But I've always been like that.
Always.
I have never cared about money. I don't want to collect it. I don't need it. I've never cared about it.
Yeah.
But I also, when I go to a casino, I have a number in mind that I'm willing to spend. And that's it. And then once that money gets spent.
Unless you're really, really drunk. It depends how many whiskeys in you are.
We're in Vegas, it's different. But but I still have a number for the week.
My rule is when you start slurring your speech, can you please just come to the room?
And Daddy can keep going. Daddy. I'm like Doc Holliday. I've just begun to define myself.
That is one of your favorite movies of all time.
I'm Doc Holliday, and you're his wife that wants to kill him. But I, you know, it's good to be home in the studio. I'm curious to see if people liked the studio here or the other one.
Yeah,
because we could stay here. We can go back. I don't know. We got to figure that out. But we would like to give it up to Aztec Chevrolet in Beeville, Texas. Aztec Ford in Goliad, Texas.
Yes.
And Uvalde Chevrolet in Uvalde. So please follow them on Instagram, Facebook. We're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff with those guys. Rebecca Creek Whiskey Distillery. We love them. Try that double Spanish oak. Raw Western Wear.
Yes.
We're blowing up. People are loving it. Uncle Cracker is wearing our clothes. It is awesome and cool. Old Salt Coffee, Trevino 10 is the code, and Pick Cherries. We love you all and thank you for continuing to ride this ride with me and my wife.
Yeah.
And, please tell people about our podcast.
Yes. Other thing that's been cool is because we've been sharing little clips of the podcast. And I think because people are finding you because of Netflix, we're getting people who are like, oh, you have a podcast. This is cool.
Yes. So we're very excited and we want to thank Rick for just all the support that he's given us and Gigi as well. Tell Gigi that next time we gamble, we will have a hotel room for her or a spa.
And that Steve's sorry he called her a hussy on camera.
No, she like I said, and Rick will tell you, she's normally not in a dress.
It was shocking to see the surprise. You literally were walking up to her and you're like, oh, shit.
But you said she's been working out because she looked really skinny.
Yeah.
She looked skinny. Like, she looked like a different person. Really?
Yeah.
And Rick, I truly hope that your family had a good time hanging out.
Let me say one thing, because I want to publicly say this. Team Trevino, from Tatiana checking to make sure we were okay, to Tim, to Enrique, the nicest people. I mean, we came in with way too many people, and you were so kind to everyone, taking photos with everyone. Steve, I'm getting chills now. The fact that you told the audience to give it up to me in my hometown with all those people there.
It was awesome.
I felt like a rock star. All the posts afterwards, I'm getting, hey, how come I wasn't invited to the show? I was like, how many times do I got to post this online that I'm coming? From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for that weekend.
Well, Rick, you know, truly, Renee and I feel like we don't thank you enough. We don't appreciate you enough. Because these past few years, you have been on board with anything and everything that we wanted to do or want to do. And, you know, we just absolutely love you guys. And, you know, the shame of it all, in the house next door is for sale.
You
don't get closer, because I now have a craps table in the barn for us to play whenever we want.
Are you serious?
It's a street craps table. But yes.
It is a street craps table.
Yes, and Daddy Raymond loves it, and he made me make it. Just if Mama Mia's wishing or listening, and I know she isn't watching, I just want you to know, Mama Mia, that he made me do it, and I've been holding that secret in, and I can't sleep at night. So now I can. I let it loose.
He made you do it for Easter Sunday.
I think I would love to break up the clip about the Louis Vuitton casket, but I don't know if it reads in a clip. That'd be pretty tough, but. Thank you guys so much for continuing.
Someone try it on Pig Cherries. Put it in a clip on Pig Cherries and let's see how it does.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you. Bye.